Today's show is brought to you by the Old Firehouse Paracon 2018, Saturday, December 8th, located at the Michigan Firehouse Museum, which is listed as one of the most haunted places in Michigan. The address is 110 West Cross Street, Ypsilanti, Michigan. The convention runs from 6 p.m. till 12 a.m. with a midnight VIP ghost hunt till 3 a.m. Special guests include psychic medium Stephanie Burke, Tennessee Wraith Chasers Scott Porter, and paranormal researcher, author, and speaker John E.L. Tenney. Click on the link in the show notes for tickets and more information. And now let's get on with the show. Coming to you from the top floor of the 222 Studio 222, Studio A, which is now the tiki room. I've got my palm trees in here, and I've got these tiki torches going.
Those are so cool. And it's I've got to get some of those.
I keep thinking the room's on fire. Okay, I got these. They're fake, but they look real.
Yeah, they're really cool.
Up here at the top floor of Studio 222, which is
hey, everybody,
the only floor.
Jen and Joe.
Bum, bum, bum. What'd you think of last week's interview with Mike?
I thought it was amazing. I just love Mike.
He's great.
Yeah. At first, I didn't recognize him. When we were walking in, I saw him taking stuff in, and I looked at him. He looked at me, and I'm like, I know that guy from somewhere. Uh-huh. And then once he sat down and
once
I heard
his voice.
Yeah. You cannot mistake that voice. But what a nice person.
Yeah.
You know, he really is. I wish him the best.
So.
What's going on, Joe? What did you do this week?
I actually did a float tank session.
Tell us all about it.
As you've heard on the show before, float tank where you lay in the pod. It's a sensory deprivation tank, which it looks like a giant egg. And they offered me a birthday one, so I took it.
Nice.
And
did you feel like you were reborn?
I tell you what, I was so relaxed, except I'm laying there.
What?
And my phone starts ringing, and I'm like, oh my God.
You forgot to turn your phone off?
Yeah.
Did you get out?
No, I just let it ring. I'm like.
It was probably just mom and dad.
Yeah.
And they call Joe 50 times a day.
But you talk about relaxing. I felt like Jello when I got out of that thing. So
nice.
I recommend it.
So tell everybody just a little bit briefly what it is, because there may be
well,
haven't heard our salt show.
Yeah. It's, 1,500 pounds of salt, Epsom salt or whatever, in a tub, basically. It's a giant pod, but you float in about a foot of water, and you actually do float because it's so much salt in the water. Mm-hmm. And you shut the lid, and it plays music at first, and it has lights, and then after I think it's 10 minutes, the sound goes away, the lights dim, and you're in complete darkness and complete silence, except for your phone ringing in the room. So the pod itself is not, I mean, it's soundproof, but they also soundproof the rooms, so you can't hear people outside of it.
Okay.
And you're just in complete silence, complete darkness. You're floating in water that's the same temperature as your body, so it's the closest you're going to get to complete nothingness.
Yeah. And sometimes you need that. You need to totally disengage from everything and just reset your whole, your whole senses.
And it goes back to the salt lamps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually laying in salt, which is great for your body.
Yeah.
It's great for your spirit.
And good for your skin too.
Now, one thing I did
while
I was laying there, I stretched. I figured I'd try stretching, and basically, it's sort of like deep DDP yoga where you stretch your body out, point those toes as far out as you can, and point your arms up as far as you can, which inside the pod, you can fit and do that, you know? And I'm telling you, having no weight on your body, you can stretch so good.
Really? Did your back feel better?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I mean.
You didn't get salt in your eye this time,
no,
did you?
I made sure that I didn't. And I had they offer you a bottle of water, regular water. So if you do touch your eyeball, and I'm telling you, it does burn. So that's what I did this week. That's about it. And, worked around the house.
That sounds so relaxing. I wish I could go do it.
Put the palm trees in this room. And
they look really nice. They're mad. It gives it a little bit of life in our paranormal
room. Yeah, they're mad because they have to come inside, but it's too cold for them outside.
Yeah. Well, then now you can talk to them just as friends.
So another thing that we did a couple weekends ago is we went to a paranormal convention called SuperCon 6 down in Posttown, Ohio.
Really, really cool place.
Yeah.
Man, that was really cool.
It was Posttown Elementary School.
So Joe and I drove down. It's, how long did it
take
us? About 3 hours to get there.
It's by Dayton.
Yeah, near Dayton. And really nice area. It was really
It was cool.
Yeah, very cool. And then we were trying to find it. We're driving down this, like, country road, and there it is. And it's like, oh, my gosh.
It's huge.
You know, my first impression when we first got there was like, there's some spirits here.
Extremely haunted.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a lot bigger than I thought it was going to be. I thought it would
More
of like kind of along the lines of the South Main School in Bowling Green, that size. But it was probably, double that?
Or triple.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, it was really cool. Great convention. We did great, you know, like really cool people. We ran into some people we knew.
Yeah.
We met new friends. And here's the best part. Joe and I. Okay, so they had the vendors in different rooms, different areas in the school.
Yeah.
And it was nice because there was a lot of vendors, right? We get stuck next to these ladies who made homemade fudge, homemade chocolates, chocolate dipped Oreos, chocolate dipped marshmallows, turtles. I'm like, I'm on a diet. And we're next to the chocolate people. And guess what? I left my fudge somewhere. I don't even know. I bought peanut butter fudge and salted caramel fudge, and I can't find it.
Sure you didn't eat it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because I wrapped it up to take it home. I don't know where it's at. It's either in your truck or somewhere in my house.
You'll find Melted. It in a couple of years.
Oh, God. But anyway.
But it was the school is cool. We're hoping to go back and do a paranormal investigation.
Yeah. Yeah, Rob's going mean, to let us come just, back in because it was... I had some weird
just
things.
Walking around the place, you know, I mean, all of a sudden there's a stuffed dog. Oh, a coyote, excuse me.
A coyote sitting there. It's not scared. I almost peed my pants. I walked in. There's a damn stuffed coyote.
In the most random place.
And Eddie from Big Dog Paranormal would know all about that. Hi, Eddie. But, you know,
Big Dog Paranormal.
Whoop. Eddie. Hey, Eddie, you better be get back to ghost hunting soon.
Yeah.
Brother, we miss you. So here's the thing about, so it's in the middle of this Middletown, Ohio.
Yeah.
Which is on some water. It's on a river.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. You know, anytime you and I get around a location that's near water is always very paranormal activity. I don't know why. But as you drive up to school, it's apparent you're not going to spend your evening here alone, right?
Yeah.
So the air felt heavy. You know, you felt like somebody's watching you in there. They've heard people talking in there. They've captured EVP of whistles.
Yeah.
The school was dedicated in 1937. It ran until about the year 2000. Then they shut it down. What's interesting is, and some of the theories of why they think the school is so haunted, there's a couple of things. There were a number of train accidents in the area. So the Middletown rails were treacherous in the late 1800s and into the 1900s. On July 25th, 1891, employees of the National Cash Register were on their way back up from Dayton. They were at their company picnic, and they were taking the trains. And their passenger train collided with a freight train, killing 4 people and injuring 50.
Okay.
And that was right, you know, that downtown part that we went through.
Yeah.
There's a lot of railways.
You could actually see the railroad tracks from the school. I was watching a few trains go by while we were there.
And then on July 4th, 1910, there was a horrific train accident that occurred when an engineer of the Big Four passenger train ran off schedule after a detour. It caused mass chaos when the second train full of freight saw the original train, but it was too late. All passengers on the two cars closest to the engine either died or were seriously injured. There were 19 deaths at the scene of the accident and countless people that were hurt. At the time, there was no hospital in that town. So where the school currently sits, they made a makeshift triage to take the people who were injured, dying, or had died. Relief trains were sent out, and the passengers who survived were taken to hospitals in other cities around. But in the end, there were 36 people who died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, there's probably a lot of energy that was left behind from those, you know, people who had passed.
Yeah, and they could have passed right there on the property.
Sure. Yeah, easily. Mm-hmm. And then there was a giant flood in that county in 1913. There was a scene of mass destruction due to a great flood. It swept through the cities, killing 6 people just outside of Middletown. However, the flood had destroyed many homes and businesses right in the area and probably left some residual energy.
I was going to say that, you know, we talk about deaths and that, but I wonder if the energy from the disasters could actually cause ghosts or...
Yeah, I would think so, because I think anytime you have like an instant impact and people die in impact, I think they're just... Honestly, maybe your soul is shocked.
Yeah.
And you're just frozen at that spot. And
that's
you
possible.
Can't move on because you don't know what happened.
No, I'm thinking people that actually didn't die, though, with the amount of energy there, I wonder if that would cause any kind of hauntings.
Sure, why not?
You know, yeah, like a residual, who knows? Because the energy is put out and into the universe.
Now, wasn't there some other reports about people that have passed away tied to the school?
One of the things is they hear a little girl in the school. And I was watching a video about it, trying to learn more about the school. And there's a guy that actually lives in the school. Okay, he bought the school to make into his house. He just loved it so much that he actually bought it, and he lives there.
You know, it was weird because when Joe and I were packing up to leave, we saw like into the windows, and it looked like somebody's house. I'm like, it looks like somebody lives there.
Yeah,
no?
He does.
It's so cool.
He bought the place, and him and his wife decided to live there and make it their home. And they didn't realize at the time that it was haunted, but they did find out.
Oh, I bet.
So... Anyhow, on the video, he talks about he tried to open this door and he couldn't get it open. And he heard a little girl on the other side going something about mommy and daddy said or something like that.
Wow.
And they've captured EVPs of this little girl. Now, I don't know if it's the same girl, but there was a girl that actually fell down the stairway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the stairs, just like any other old building, it's like circular, but it's not. It's square.
Yeah.
And there's a big opening in the middle. Mm-hmm. And she was up on the fourth floor, and she actually fell all the way to the bottom. And she didn't die at the school, but she died at the home later.
Now, the girl that showed me what took me over to that stairway, she told me she was a medium. She was sensitive.
Okay.
And she could feel what her feeling was, that somebody was holding the little girl over the rails to try to scare her.
And I know we have the interview with Mike coming up here in a few seconds, but he mentions that in there too.
Yeah.
About the janitor.
And it's interesting because this lady or young lady had mentioned that her feeling was that they were pushing her over because she was physically feeling like her ribs, like something against her ribs. So she thought maybe they were teasing her and it went too far and maybe they accidentally dropped her. But yeah, we were back on that staircase and I was getting some words through the ovulus, like hurt. And I can't remember the other ones off the top of my head, but it was relating to that. And then somebody had left a little teddy bear down there. I think it's there permanently.
Yeah. Well, I know that they capture EVPs standing on the stairwell of a girl screaming, and it sounds like she's going past them falling.
Oh my gosh.
Now, can you imagine
I would be devastated. Yeah, I did use the spirit box over there, but there was so much noise from the convention that I really couldn't, you know, really.
One of the other things, they have these skinny hallway. They call it the teacher's hallway. And there's actually a video of a shadow figure going by the door. It's kind of like disappearing into the floor. So that's one of the claims. They see a lot of shadow figures at the school.
Now, I took off and wandered on my own for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I left Joe at the table. And I'm like,
next to the chocolate.
Yeah, next to the chocolate. Chocolat. And I went upstairs to the upstairs. I went into the classrooms. Mm-hmm. I went into the principal's office. Now, when I went into the principal's office, it was a very different feeling.
Okay.
It was like really weird. Now, they've had activity and a couple people that I talked to there said, oh, you got to go in the principal's office. It's like totally different. And when I went in there, it was very cold, okay. Like way cold.
Yeah.
Check the windows. It wasn't, there weren't drafts. There were windows and, mm-hmm. you know, it was cold that day and there's no heat in the place. But it was different. And then I had one other thing happen. I was in this room. Now, they must have used this place for maybe like a community center at
yeah,
one
it is.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can rent out the rooms.
Oh, okay. Well, there was two of those long punching bags, you know, I don't know, they call them weight bags or whatever they are, but you know, those long, you know, Everlast bags hanging from the ceiling. And they were probably a good, what would you say, 20 feet from the ceiling. It was a very tall ceiling.
Yeah, probably about that.
And twice I had walked by the room and it was swinging. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, you know, somebody could have been in there, punched it and left. Okay. So I went in there and I studied it, right? And I was like watching it and I was like, okay, it doesn't look like it's moving. So I turned around. Now that girl that was showing me around was in the room with me at the same time. And she was standing to my left and I was standing maybe 2 inches from it, okay. maybe an inch to 2 inch, I'll say, away from it. And we were talking to spirits because we were getting some hits on the spirit box. And I said, okay, if you're here, you know, make this bag touch me. And it touched my back. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was just interesting. So I don't know if that was just maybe movement of the building or if something happened. I can't explain.
To make something that heavy swing.
But it was moving. Every time I went in or by that room, it was moving. Huh. I don't know. Just don't know.
One of the other things that happened to the owners, he, like I said, I watched a video. If you go up on, we'll put a link up to the video. But in the video, it shows he talks about how he got hurt at 4 a.m. What? Okay. And he actually had marks on his forehead to where he was hurt. And he talked about a door in room 109 that opens by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And in the video, it showed that the door is so swelled shut that you can't open it, that you actually have to like put your shoulder or kick it to open it.
Wow.
And they said that every time this door would open, he would get hurt.
Weird.
Somehow. So he doesn't know if it's a porthole or portal.
Porthole.
Yeah.
Portal.
But what's interesting is I found out that door is where we were at, right next to us.
Oh, my gosh.
Because it's the schoolroom is broken in half now. It's 2 rooms.
Okay.
Or the walls, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we were right next to that door the whole time at the convention.
That's funny. Didn't even realize it. It was kind of cool. There was a lot of twists and turns in different places you could go and investigate and nooks and crannies. And
I tell you what, it's definitely a place to go.
Yeah.
It's definitely. But anyways, let's get into the interview with Mike. He has some really cool things to say, and we'll be back after the interview. All right, and welcome to the show, Mike Simpson from the Keystone State Paranormal Society.
Thank
Welcome
you very
to
much.
To the show.
Thank you.
Mike, tell us a little bit about your experience and how you got into the paranormal.
Great question. Many years ago, I won't tell you my age, but I'm not as young as I look. But the story goes back when my parents got divorced, and I was a junior in high school and moved in with my mom and her boyfriend and my sister in a little Farmbrook house that was kind of down a long road. And we always felt uncomfortable in the house. This is 1982, so we knew nothing about the paranormal. Or there was no shows, and basically people thought you were crazy if you would talk about that kind of stuff. So now I'm going to go back into the story to the future, and I'll jump back to the past. So I went back for a high school graduation from a little city called Fraser, Michigan, where I'm from, and my mom was still alive, and she said, do you want to go back to the Farmbrook house? And somebody lives there, but just to go visit outside and talk about it. I said, great. So we get in front of the house, and we're looking at it. It looks like the same as it did back in 1982. You got to remember, this is now 2013. So I said, Mom, what was it about this house that made my sister and I uncomfortable? So now I'm going to jump back into the story, back to 1982, where I was in the room. Yes, it was wintertime, but I know the windows were shut and the heat was on. And I'm in the room and I'm just really feeling uncomfortable. I don't know what's going on. I said, I'm going to put the covers over my head and I'm not going to lift them off until the morning, because that's how scared I was. I didn't want to move. 17-year-old, once again, didn't know anything of what was going on. So everything's fine. I wake up the next morning. We go back to the story where my mom and I are outside of the house, and I asked her, what was it about the house that made us uncomfortable? And she said, well, Mike, we couldn't tell you at the time, because you and your sister would have wanted moved out immediately. But she said there was a woman that took her life. For whatever reason, she committed suicide in the house. And I said, well, let me guess which room. Which room do you think it was?
Yours.
Exactly. So that intrigued me. So here it is, 1982. This poor woman, for whatever reason, that took her life, she wasn't trying to scare me. She wasn't trying to frighten me, but she was trying to communicate with me. And, of course, I didn't understand back in that time period. So that made me really wonder, you know, what is out there, and really intrigued me to move on.
Now, when you went back to that house, did you have any feelings or were you able to talk to the current owner that lived there?
Unfortunately, we weren't able to talk to the current owner. We just sat out front for a while. It just brought back the feeling of what the heck was going on in there. Nothing different than that, but once again, my mom answered that question. But
So in your dealings with the paranormal, what has been the most interesting thing that has happened?
Wow, as far as while investigating?
Yes.
I can tell you, in my 7.5 years of doing it, I've been blessed to meet some great, incredible people from the first team that I was on, Greater Ohio Spirit Trackers in Columbus, Ohio. I'll give them a shout out. Mm-hmm. I worked for Ghost Hunts USA, which is a company out of New York where we would host events all over the U.S. And now working with Keystone State Paranormal Society, I would say the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital, which is in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, is one of the most darkest and intriguing places, and the experience with whatever this entity is on the third floor that rules the hospital was pretty intimidating, and one of the most interesting places and experiences just being on that third floor with that entity.
Now, what do you think it was? Do you think it was just a very negative spirit? Do you think it was maybe something a little bit darker? Do you think it was the spirit of somebody from the hospital or the jail? Is it a jail or a hospital?
No, it was a hospital.
A hospital, okay. Sorry.
Okay. Interesting. Some people think it was a... I don't think it was anything, because I don't like to throw this word around, demonic or the D word. Yes.
The D word.
In 7.5 years, you know, knock on wood, I have not encountered anything like that. Do I think it was possibly an inhuman spirit, or as they call an elemental? Mm-hmm. Is a good possibility, but it was definitely something different I've never encountered.
Now, when you encountered it, did you feel it physically close to you? Was it speaking to you in your mind? How did you sense it? Did you see it visually?
Could not see it or hear it, but I remember I was with a couple of ex-teammates from Ghost Hunts USA, and during free time, we kind of roam around. If the guests need us, we're with them. If not, we just kind of do our own thing. So the three of us were up there, and we had a couple of K2 meters, twist mag, flashlight, and some other devices. And as we're at one end of the hallway, all of a sudden at the other end of the hallway where it seemed to be hanging out at the time, it almost looked like just before our eyes that it was trying to manifest in whatever it wanted to be at that time. Mm-hmm. It seemed like it could kind of form like a shapeshifter, possibly. Yeah. whatever it wanted to form, it looked like it was trying to form, but it was kind of like teasing us, and it wouldn't go to the full form.
Almost as if it may not have been able to go to the full form.
Exactly. You
know? And when you were saying that, I was thinking, oh, hospitals are such a huge magnet for paranormal activity because of the, you got life, you got death, you got overwhelming emotion. And I was thinking, and I've thought this before, is maybe a lot of the things we see at the hospitals are not actually physical entities of someone that passed away or that, but all the energy together. And sometimes when we go up to it, whatever mood we're in or that, maybe that changes a little bit to where it matches you, you know?
Exactly.
Have you ever witnessed full body apparition in any of the ghost hunts that you've done?
I tell people honestly that unfortunately I have never seen a full body apparition. Every time
yet.
I go to the every time I go to the next investigation, it's like, today? Could this be the night? Today, I will tell you,
today could be the day. Yes. We are at
I'm
a
hoping tonight
because
we are going to investigate tonight. We did last night, which was cool. I have seen, as they call, shadow figures, shadow people. A lot of disembodied voices, but never the full apparition yet.
Mm-hmm. Now, you investigated at this location that we're in here in Middletown, Ohio, or Pottstown. How do you say this? Posttown. Oh, my gosh. I'm from Ohio, but I don't know how to say it. How did it go last night?
It was really interesting.
This place is huge.
Yes, and it was only the second time that we had ever been here. Our psychic medium, Haley Eisenhart, it was her first time, but Jim and Dave were here one other time, and I was here one other time. So we, as our good friend Daryl Wiseman would say, once you leave, you will believe. And there's no doubt about it. Anybody that's investigated here. Daryl and Brenda are awesome people. But we had, of course, Dalen from Ghost Brothers was here, Carmen Reed, from the mom from the Haunting of Connecticut, and we had Doug Baker, and we also had some other people that were for the celebrity ghost hunt last night. We had guests here, and it was very interesting. We were in the red room. It was just Dave, Jim, Haley, and I, and Dave and Haley had went out of the room for a minute. Jim pulled out his full spectrum camera. We had a RIM pod and some other devices on this desk, and things were happening. Flashlights were coming on. The RIM pod was going off. So he takes out the camera. He takes pictures, and he says, come over here, Mike. Take a look at this. And as I'm looking through, as he's showing the pictures, it's not a full-body apparition, but it's definitely, you can see the figure, maybe see-through, of a young girl that would go over there, and then the RIM pod would go off, or the flashlight would go on, and then she would step back, and it would go off.
That's incredible.
So that was really cool last night.
Very cool.
The other quick story is down in the janitor's room, which is across from the principal's office, where there's a story, a sad story of a young girl named Sarah that fell, and this is documented, that she had fell from the steps. She didn't die at the school. I guess she died later of injuries at a hospital. But there's two theories that one, maybe her and the other children were playing and that she fell off, you know, herself, it was an accident, or there's a story of a janitor back in that day and time that wasn't too nice that could have possibly pushed her over the edge. So we tried to contact the janitor, which we did. We believe we had his spirit. Possibly his name was Art or Arthur. We had children in the hallway. They wouldn't come in the room. We think they were afraid to come in his office. And when we were speaking to him, we just wanted to let him know why we were there. We weren't there to interrogate him or prosecute him. We were just trying to get the truth. We wanted to see if he would open up. Okay. So I tell people, why were you acting so nice to him and when you were questioning him? I said, well, we're trying to get him to open up and tell us the story if he will.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't know. You know, we're never going to know if what really happened, but we all have the gut feeling that, sadly, that he did push her over the edge.
And going back to what you were saying, you know, a lot of people don't understand that, is you talk to them as if they're right in front of you,
right?
Because they are. you know?
Exactly. 99.9% of spirits were human beings like you and I.
Yeah.
And I tell people, if you're going to connect with them, you've got to connect like you and I. You've got to treat them like a human being, because they were a human being.
Exactly. Yeah. So is this, like, okay, I've walked around the place also, around this school also, and I didn't make it down to the janitor's area yet, but when you go down there, can you sense something different, or is it just the same feeling you get all over the building?
You know, it's interesting. I tell people when I walk around to locations, the first thing I like to do, especially to a location I've never been to, but even locations that I have been to, I like to walk the place and connect with the spirits, introduce myself, the team, why are we here, what are we trying to do, and get a sense of each part of the area or the building you're at to see what kind of, you know, impression that you get. And people had told me when you go into the janitor's office, you feel threatened. You feel like he doesn't want you to stay in, it's his office, he doesn't want you to stay there. And people usually are frightened and they leave.
Well, okay.
When we were down there, I didn't get that sense at all. He was pretty open in communicating with us after we explained who we are and why we were there. And yeah, I didn't feel anything hostile or anything in that area.
Okay. Yeah. And one thing, I have a big question about one of the rooms I was up in. What is with the doll room?
I've got a great story, story to share with you. We were up in the doll room. Doug Baker, psychic medium, was giving a little tour for the guests. I wanted to tag along.
Okay.
And as we got into the doll room, all of a sudden this young lady said, "You got to come take a look at these pictures. There is a doll in the room that has no eyes."
Oh.
I don't know why. Okay.
All right.
It's the only doll that I've seen in the room with no eyes. So she said, "Take a look at these pictures." So I think she took four pictures. No eyes, no eyes, no eyes. And then the next picture. And I'm telling you, I couldn't believe with my own eyes. It looked like that this doll had eyes in one out of four pictures.
Wow.
So the doll room, you know, anything, something about, you know, dolls.
Everybody's
creepy about dolls. Well, they're condiments or conduits, right, that spirits can attach to. So, yeah, the doll room, I'm going to investigate in there tonight. I didn't make it last night.
So I was up in the doll room earlier and taking some video, and that place is pretty dang.
Yeah, like you said, there's something about dolls. It's just because
you feel like they're watching you. You know, they're like, they're all looking at you at the same time. What piece of equipment do you like to use the best when you're doing an investigation?
Well,
what's your go-to?
I'll tell you the go-to in a minute, but the thing that I always tried to tell people when I hosted events is when I would do a session, I would say, we're going to go totally dark, and we're not going to use any equipment, because your best equipment is your senses.
Exactly.
So get a feel of the room, right? Your eyes, your ears, your nose. I've even had people say, investigations, that they tasted something, which is interesting. So once we would get through that, kind of old school, I love obviously the K2 or EMF meters. At the beginning, I was the biggest skeptic on the twist mag flashlights, but I've learned how to use them as any other ghost hunting tool. It can be good. And the ovulus and the digital recorder. So if you ask me, how many tools do I need to go on an investigation? I would probably say four. I'd have the ovulus, a digital recorder, a K2 or EMF detector, and a twist mag flashlight. Obviously, you want a spirit box also.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we always, you know, bring our arsenal with us anytime when we go.
And that's the thing. It's like your senses are the most important one.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is, you can't really document. You can tell people what you felt, but you can't document, and which makes the recorders in that really nice. But you're going to sense something no matter if you have equipment or not.
Right.
You know.
And that's important. I try to tell people, obviously, personal experiences are awesome. No one can take that away from you, whether they believe it or not. But it's always down to what can you document, video, audio, or picture-wise.
Yeah.
What surprises you the most about, you know, being in this field of the paranormal?
I really think besides the fun of traveling to different locations all over the USA that I've been really blessed through the 7.5 year travels so far, it's meeting the people. And not only the people that the guests that come to the locations, but just the different teams going to paranormal conferences like today's mm-hmm. SuperCon, and just sharing stories, getting to know people. Everybody has different stories and different things that and reasons why they got into paranormal. And it's just really amazing because they say, well, there's never going to be paranormal unity. There's always going to be somebody that wants to do something before somebody else. But I'm pretty blessed that I've been with people that have not been with ego and mm-hmm. not with bad or wrong intentions in the yeah. field.
Yeah, we're all in this together, and we're all doing it for one reason, you know. I mean, I know there's people out there that are doing it for the hype and for the fame of it, but true investigators are out there just to do it to learn and to experience. Share it. Yeah.
Now, of all the locations that you've been to, because you said you've traveled all over, where was your favorite place that you ever went to?
Well, I don't want to get anybody mad at me. But there's so many amazing places. I'm just going to give you...
give me one of your favorites.
All right, one of my favorites.
Not the best, but your all right, favorite.
One of my favorites, most definitely. And it was kind of like a second home because there was a period back a year or so ago when I was with Ghost Hunts USA that I was there almost every weekend with mainly my good friend Ashley Lucky. Her and I would be the co-hosts, and it's the Madison Seminary in Madison, Ohio. Adam Kimmel, good friend, owns it. And it was like a second home, and the connection that we had with the spirits were amazing. And I tell people, the more you connect with the spirits, I promise you, the more that you're going to get out of the spirits. And if you treat them with the utmost respect. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing. So the Madison Seminary, it's half Civil War, and it's half an asylum. And so many stories and so many incredible times there, just amazing.
Have you ever had anything really, really hilarious or funny happen during an investigation that you were just like, what just happened?
Good question. Funny or hilarious?
Anybody ever run out screaming? Or
well, yes, we did have... this was at the Madison Seminary, and it was kind of an alarming experience where we were in the basement and doing a session, and a young lady was in there, probably, I'm guessing, early 20s. All of a sudden, something overwhelmed her, and she was so full of tears and sadness that and out of breath that we had to, you know, run her out of there. And that was a crazy experience. We got her outside and she was fine. A funny moment, probably I'll get you a good funny moment. Finally got a chance to go to a Nick Groff tour. It was in Ohio. So I said, wow, it's close. I want to meet Nick and Elizabeth Saint. And my good friend Chad Lindbergh was there. And Daniel Clays of the Hinsdale House was there too. So all people that I had... known or had met. So Chad Lindbergh, anybody that's ever investigated with him or seen his style of investigating, he's just hilarious because people don't understand humor. I tell people humor and music is just as important investigating as any tools that you have because they love music and they love laughter. So he would be, we were in the emergency room, I believe, with him, and he was, you know, trying to connect with the spirits, and he was acting like he was being needed attention. And just to watch Chad Lindbergh, anybody that knows him, is just so funny and hilarious. And I remember he had mentioned something about, all right, I want you to go over to this room. And I thought he was pointing to me. I said, okay, Chad, I'm going to go over to this room. He said, no, I'm talking to the spirits, Mike. But yeah, really, really cool.
If you could have unlimited funds, you could go anywhere in the world to investigate, you can get on a plane right now and go, where would you go?
Easy one. Dracula's castle.
Yes. That's what we say all the time.
Oh my God, yes. 100% on the bucket list, right?
Amen. Second would be the Island of the Dead. I think it's in Italy.
Oh, La Vallée.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I've never heard of that one.
Oh, I'll show you.
All right, we'll look into that. Yeah.
But let's have him pick a question. So we have this magic crystal ball full of weird and
the
fun questions.
Yes, ancient magic crystal ball that
so
I found
to
in my closet.
It.
All right. First thing that, I guess, pops into my mind.
You have to read it and then answer it.
What is the names of the entity that puts lint in your belly button at night?
Submitted by Reverend Swope, actually, typed up that question.
Wow. Probably one of my exes that is really unhappy with me is probably the one that would put the lint in my belly button.
All right. Now we all know.
Yes.
All mysteries have been solved.
And yes, I do have an innie.
But I'm bumped.
All right, Mike. Well, thank you a lot for coming on.
I really appreciate you sharing your stories.
So much fun.
My pleasure. Great talking with you.
Yeah, I hope to have you on the show again.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Enjoy the conference.
All right. Another great interview.
Oh, my gosh. That's so cool. Very cool. Did you get up to the doll room at all?
Yes. I know in the interview we mentioned it.
So
I got up there.
Creepy.
It is. Imagine two schoolrooms full of creepy dolls.
I mean, like full, like creepy dolls too. Not just like creepy dolls, but like dolls that look like, you know.
Creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, the one had no arms and no legs and it was propped up against the wall and the face was just.
Yeah, there was like
I should have took more pictures.
I did a video. I put it on our Facebook page. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, but go back and look at it. Yeah, weird. Like if you were there in there at night, I'm guaranteed one of them dolls is probably start talking to you or move because there were so many strange. And did you notice in the closet? Okay, so there was like one of those like closet doors that like bifold doors.
Okay.
Underneath it, somebody stuck a pair of shoes, so it looked like somebody.
I saw that in your video.
That creeped me the I mean, I had a weird feeling about that. I'm like, I am not opening this door. I am not opening this door. No. No. Scary nightmare type stuff.
That was great, though. I'm just walking around the school, you know?
Yeah.
Just wandering around, and I walk past Rob. He's like, hey, you all right? I'm like, yeah, just wandering. And I turn the corner and there's the doll room. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, baby dolls, dolls like brides. They're all staring at you. I'm like, oh, I can't. I'm like, and then I sat down at one point. I went up there and by myself and I was in the room by myself and I sat down with I had the K2 meter. And I had the spirit box going, and then I had my digital recorder. And I'm sitting there, and I kind of feel like somebody's watching me.
Well, there's probably 300 watching you.
And then I turn, and there's this family standing there. There was two young girls and a mom, and they were so freaking excited that I was doing a spirit box. They were like, their eyes, I'm not kidding, their eyes were this big, like huge. And they were just like, mouths were hanging open and because I was getting some, you know, responses. Oh my gosh. It was so funny. And they followed me around for like three rooms. Finally I had to shake them. I was like, oh, I gotta go to the bathroom.
You lied to them?
I did.
How dare you?
I just said that in my head. I was like, okay. But anyways. It was amazing, you guys, if you get a chance.
I want to thank Rob and the whole crew from liveparanormal.com. They put on a great show.
Yeah, it was really amazing. And, you know, we saw some friends there. We saw the guy from Lost Limbs.
Yeah.
They were doing, you know, some charity thing. I think Mike.
I don't remember. I'm so bad at names.
I know. You know what? I look them up on Facebook before we get there, so I don't forget anybody's names. I'm good with numbers, but bad with names.
And another person that we actually got to sit down with.
Yeah, guys, stay tuned for next week's show. It's going to be so exciting. We got to talk to Dalen Spratt from the Ghost Brothers.
He was so cool.
Oh my God, what a nice person.
Yeah.
He was cool. You know, we run into a lot of celebrities, and this guy was very down to earth.
Oh man.
Very he was funny. So
cool. Yeah.
He had a nice smile too.
And he said he wants to get the brothers on our show.
Yes, how exciting would that be?
So stay tuned for that next week.
Yes.
That it was a great interview. We had so much fun.
We did. Yeah, but again, you know, shout out to Rob for putting on a great show and inviting us down and to be a part of that. That was really fun. I really liked that convention.
Go to liveparanormal.com. That's his site. And he does a live show, you know, at night. He asked me to be on it, but honestly, it's tough because it's at 10 o'clock and I'm old. And, you know, I got to get to bed early.
Oh, no. Thank you, Geritol.
But we'll get
put
on
your
one
life
of
alert on.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. One thing, get up to Jen's page. She has all kinds of new stuff on her page.
Yeah, so you guys know that I'm personal shopper for you guys. It's Poshmark. And my closet name is @HAPPIE22. If you guys need some Christmas gifts or a gift for yourself.
Shoes.
Yeah, there's lots of shoes, handbags, clothing. I got some really nice winter coats. I got a really nice Nike coat with the University of Michigan logo on it. Very warm. We're going to need it because it's going to snow soon.
And the Michigan-Ohio State game's up next weekend, I believe. Yeah.
Bum, bum, bum.
So anyways, folks, thanks for listening this week. We had a great interview, and once again, thank Rob and everybody at liveparanormal.com for putting on a great show. Stay tuned next week for an unbelievable interview.
Yes, with the Ghost Brother, Dale and Spratt.
Woo-hoo!
Bye, Joey.
Bye. And by the way, this is Sliver by Dead and Five.
Woo! Check them out. They got a new album out.